Today, you can walk into a Walmart and just, buy a fully functional, high-definition Android computer for $97.
Right, which is just wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. But then, at the exact same time, consumers are actively suing Sony in federal court over, a mere $50 price hike on a gaming console.
Yeah, the whole tech economy has just completely fractured at this point.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, you have devices stretching into the thousands of dollars, really just pushing the very limits of physics, the material science, while, right next door, the absolute floor of budget computing is offering incredibly capable hardware for basically spare change.
We're definitely looking at a market that's suffering from an intense identity crisis right now.
Oh, for sure.
The middle ground is just rapidly dropping out. So consumers are either being squeezed for every last premium dollar, or they're finding these surprising havens of democratization where, top-tier components from just a few years ago are now available for literal pennies.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Because for you listening right now, this fracture is fundamentally changing how you buy technology.
Absolutely.
Our primary source today is this massive May 19th, 2026 Tech Digest from Tikkun Morning.
It's a really comprehensive report.
It really is. And our mission today is to sort of decode this chaotic battle for your wallet.
Yeah.
We're looking at historic courtroom battles over console prices. We're dissecting these ultra-premium smartphones, pushing past that $2,000 mark.
Which is still hard to believe.
Right. And we're also exploring those astonishingly cheap tablets and AI bundles that do almost the exact same thing for a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, we really need to figure out how these companies are extracting value from you and, more importantly, how consumers are pushing back.
Exactly.
Because it is a profound transformation. I mean, as hardware upgrade cycles lengthen, companies are just, they're forced to change their tactics.
Right, they have to adapt.
Yeah, they have to either maximize the revenue per user on a single luxury transaction, or they have to find ways to aggregate services at the budget level to capture the masses.
Okay, well, let's start with the consumer pushback, because nowhere is that tension more obvious than this massive class action lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one.
Yeah, it was filed just a couple of weeks ago on May 6th, 2026, in a California federal court. It's Walker et al. V., Sony Interactive Entertainment LLC.
And this is really shaping up to be a landmark case.
Definitely.
How this resolves, it could set a massive precedent for the entire consumer electronics industry.
Right, specifically regarding how companies handle geopolitical supply chain shocks, right?
Exactly.
So to understand the lawsuit, we need to lay out the timeline here. Back in August of 2025, Sony announced they were raising the prices on all PlayStation 5 models.
Right, so the standard, the digital, and the pro.
Yep, by $50 across the board. And in their announcement, they directly cited a challenging economic environment.
Which was code, basically.
Right. That was a direct reference to President Donald Trump invoking the International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
The IEPA.
Exactly, the IEPA, to place heavy tariffs on electronics imported from China.
And before we go any further, just to be absolutely clear with you listening,
Yes, very important point here.
we are neutrally reporting the timeline of those tariffs and the subsequent legal fallout exactly as they're laid out in the Tekin Morning Digest.
Right.
We're impartially reporting the history of the policy and the courts, and we take absolutely no political side on the tariffs themselves or the court rulings.
Exactly. We have no horse in this race.
Right. Our focus is strictly on the mechanics of how this impacts consumer tech pricing.
Right. We are strictly following the money. So anyway, Sony hikes the price in August 2025 because of those tariffs.
Yeah.
But then in February of 2026, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down those specific IEPA tariffs as unconstitutional.
Right, so the tariffs were gone.
The tariffs were completely gone,
My God.
but Sony kept the $50 price hike in place.
Yeah, they didn't drop it back down.
Okay, let's unpack this. Think of it like going to your favorite restaurant and ordering a burger.
Okay, I like this.
When the bill arrives, there's a $5 supply chain surcharge tacked onto the bottom. The owner tells you beef prices went up, so you pay it.
Makes sense at the time.
Right. But a month later, that restaurant gets a full refund from their beef supplier for those elevated costs. Do they call you up and mail you your $5 back?
Of course not.
No. They keep your surcharge and they pocket the refund from the supplier. It is a classic double dip.
And that restaurant scenario is precisely the legal theory driving this lawsuit.
Really?
Yeah. Under California's Unfair Competition Law and the Consumer Legal Remedies Act, this mechanism is actually referred to as a double recovery windfall.
Wow. Double recovery windfall.
Exactly. The plaintiffs argue that Sony basically profited twice from a single geopolitical event. First, they passed the perceived cost directly to the consumer, which generated an estimated, tens of millions of dollars in extra revenue over the 8 months that the elevated pricing was in effect.
And crucially, the plaintiffs argue that even if Sony's actual tariff burden was less than $50 a unit, they still implemented a flat $50 hike anyway.
Right. Just instantly padding their margins.
Yeah.
And then comes the second profit, which is the government refund.
Ah, right.
Because after the Supreme Court struck down the tariffs, importing companies became eligible to file for refunds on the duties they had already paid.
Wow.
So the lawsuit alleges that by keeping both the consumer's elevated purchase money and the anticipated government refund, Sony is just engaging in an unfair business practice.
I mean, I can't imagine Sony's lawyers are just going to roll over on this, right? Mm. They must have a defense strategy ready to go.
Oh, they absolutely do. And it's a robust one.
Yeah.
Legally, Sony can attack this from a few different angles. First, they're going to point to general inflation and rising logistics costs throughout 2025.
Okay, so saying it wasn't just the tariffs.
Right. They can argue that even without the tariffs, shipping, manufacturing, and labor costs justified the $50 increase anyway.
That makes sense from a defense standpoint.
Yeah. And second, government refunds for unconstitutional tariffs are not just an automatic deposit into a corporate bank account.
Right. It's probably a nightmare of paperwork.
It is a grueling, incredibly complex administrative process. So Sony might argue they haven't seen a single dime of that refund money yet.
But their biggest defense has to be the concept of voluntary pricing, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like, a company can set a price at whatever they want based on market conditions, and the consumer still voluntarily chose to hand over their credit card.
Yeah, that's the absolute foundation of their argument. They didn't force anyone to buy a PlayStation 5.
I have to push back on that voluntary argument, though.
Okay, how so?
Because the PlayStation is a closed ecosystem. If you've spent 5 years building a library of digital PS4 and PS5 games, and your console breaks, you're completely locked in.
That's a fair point.
You can't just take your digital library and play it on an Xbox. It isn't like swishing from a $5 loaf of bread to a cheaper brand at the grocery store.
Right. The switching costs are astronomical.
Exactly. You're captive to Sony's hardware pricing.
Which is exactly why this class action is gaining so much traction in the first place. The plaintiffs are arguing that Sony exploited that captive audience.
So if you are listening to this and you bought any PS5 model between August 20th, 2025 and April 20th, 2026 from an authorized U.S. retailer, go check your emails.
Yeah, seriously.
Dig up your digital receipts from Best Buy, Amazon, or Target and save them. Federal class actions can take 1 to 3 years to resolve, but you might be owed part of a massive settlement down the line.
You don't need to sign up for anything today. Just secure your proof of purchase.
Right. Just have it ready.
But you know, what's fascinating here is the contrast.
Yeah.
We have consumers organizing federal lawsuits over a $50 console markup. Yet right across the tech landscape, Apple is betting those exact same consumers will happily accept a $100 price hike and a $2,000 total price tag without a second thought.
Oh, man, yeah. Let's pivot to Cupertino, because Apple's fall 2026 lineup is completely upending their historical playbook.
It really is.
The sources confirm Apple is targeting either Wednesday, September 9th or Monday, September 14th for their massive launch event.
Okay.
But the date is just logistics. Oh. The real news here is a radical departure from a product strategy they've relied on for over a decade.
Yeah, they are entirely eliminating the base models from the fall launch window.
Zero base models. None.
None at all.
If you tune into that September event, you're only going to see the premium tier. Mm. The iPhone 18 Pro, the 18 Pro Max, the new iPhone Ultra, which is their highly anticipated first foldable and possibly a premium lightweight Air 2.
Right.
The standard iPhone 18 and the entry-level 18e are completely banished to spring 2027.
I mean, from a corporate strategy perspective, it is just a ruthless maneuver designed to force the market's hand.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I have to push back on this.
Okay.
Is Apple deliberately hiding the budget-friendly phones until spring just to strong-arm holiday shoppers into buying the Pro models? Or is there a real tech limitation here?
Well, it's mostly the former.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you're highlighting the exact risk Apple is taking, but we have to look at the underlying market realities driving this gamble. upgrade cycles have slowed to a crawl.
Right. People are holding on to their phones forever now.
Exactly. Consumers used to reliably buy a new phone every 2 years. Now that cycle is stretching to 3, sometimes 4 years.
Wow.
When your customer is only transacting once every 4 years, you cannot afford to sell them your cheapest device. You absolutely must maximize the average revenue per user on that single rare transaction.
So they really are essentially trying to strong arm the holiday shopper into the Pro tier.
Precisely. And there's an intense psychological component to product marketing here, too. Apple is facing fierce competition at the premium tier from the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra, the Google Pixel 11 Pro, and major pushes from Xiaomi.
Right. The high end is crowded.
Exactly. So Apple wants their September presentation to feel like a luxury car showroom. You can't unveil a state-of-the-art $2,000 foldable Ultra and then in the next breath announce a basic $700 phone in pastel colors.
Oh, I see.
It just shatters the premium aura.
Well, the specs they're packing into the 18 Pro certainly fit that luxury showroom vibe.
They really do.
They're introducing the A19 Pro chip, built on a 2-nanometer process by TSMC. I mean, this is bleeding-edge silicon.
It's incredible tech.
Based on the leaks, the tighter transistor density translates to a 30% faster CPU, a 40% faster GPU capable of running full console games natively, and a 25% improvement in battery life over last year's 17 Pro.
That's a massive jump.
Yeah. But, you know, to pay for that silicon, the starting price is jumping $100 to $1,099.
And while the processing speed is impressive, the most critical specification upgrade on the 18 Pro is actually the memory.
Really? Not the processor?
Nope. Apple is bumping the RAM up to 12 gigabytes.
Okay, wow.
And that is not for multitasking or keeping more Safari tabs open. That RAM bump is exclusively engineered to support the new on-device Apple Intelligence features rolling out in iOS 20.
Right, because running complex artificial intelligence models natively on a phone requires an enormous amount of memory bandwidth.
It absolutely demands it.
Yeah.
If you want a version of Siri that can process real-time audio translation, generate high-resolution images, and parse through your personal messages to find context.
Which everyone wants, yeah.
Right, and you want it to do all of that without sending your private data to a cloud server, you need that 12 gigabytes of local RAM.
That makes total sense.
It is a profound privacy and latency advantage, but it's expensive to build. Add in the new 48-megapixel telephoto lens with a 10x optical periscope zoom, and the component costs are just skyrocketing.
Which brings us to the physical housing of the phone, because Apple's material science department is currently starring in a bizarre soap opera.
Oh, this whole saga is fascinating.
It really is. Let's trace the history of the Pro chassis here. The iPhone 15 and 16 Pro utilized titanium to shed weight, right?
Right.
But the thermal conductivity was poor, which led to those major overheating issues everyone complained about.
Exactly.
So for the iPhone 17 Pro, Apple basically swallowed their pride and switched back to anodized aluminum to fix the heat dissipation.
Yep.
But now Weibo supply chain leaks are reporting that the aluminum 17 Pro is denting and scratching way too easily under normal use.
It perfectly illustrates the brutal physical constraints of modern mobile computing.
Yeah, you can't win.
You're trying to pack a 2-nanometer processor, 12 gigs of RAM, and a massive battery into a device that is only a few millimeters thick. Something has to give.
Right. So now the rumors state Apple is scrambling back to the lab to the iPhone 18, trying to invent a brand new titanium alloy that provides the durability of the 15 without the thermal throttling.
It's a nightmare for the engineers.
They're literally fighting the laws of thermodynamics just to justify a $1,099 price tag.
Yeah.
But honestly, that engineering headache pales in comparison to the drama surrounding the iPhone Ultra Foldable.
Oh, the Foldable. The market has been waiting for Apple's entry for years now.
Well, the reporting on the Ultra has some major highs and terrifying lows. On the positive side, they've finally solved the display crease.
Which is huge.
It is. The leaks indicate the internal flexible glass achieves a crease depth of under 0.15 millimeters and an angle under 2.5 degrees.
That's almost imperceptible.
Exactly. To the human eye and under normal lighting, the display appears perfectly flat. That is an engineering marvel that Samsung and Huawei are still struggling to match.
But the mechanical infrastructure beneath that glass is in serious trouble.
Major trouble. The proprietary liquid metal hinge mechanism is consistently failing quality control during prolonged high-frequency folding tests.
That's not what you want before launch.
No. And the mandate from Apple leadership is that they have until June to completely resolve this mechanical fatigue, or they'll be forced to delay the Ultra entirely and pull it from the September event.
And if they do that, it ruins the whole strategy. Apple's entire fall narrative implies that cutting-edge, magical technology inherently demands premium astronomical pricing.
Right.
They're telling the consumer, if you want an invisible crease, you pay $2,000. If you want local privacy-first AI, you pay $1,100.
But the bottom is completely falling out of that argument.
It really is.
While Apple is fighting thermodynamics to justify a $1,000 phone, the budget market has quietly become incredibly competent. Let's look at Walmart.
Okay.
Walmart has just launched a new line of on-branded tablets running Android 16. The entry-level 7-inch model retails for $97.
It's just crazy.
Let me repeat that. $97 for a functioning computer. But the real standout is the On Pro 13.2.
The specifications on that device are genuinely disruptive.
Yeah. It features a 13.2-inch IPS display with a 2400 by 1600 resolution, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage, and they include a stylus and a folio case right in the box.
And the price?
The price tag is $288.
Wow.
So what does this all mean? I mean, if you walk into an Apple store today and purchase a fully loaded 13-inch iPad Pro along with a pencil and a keyboard folio, you're looking at roughly $1,777.
Right.
The iPad is over 6 times more expensive than the Walmart tablet.
Yeah.
Are we reaching a point where good enough tech is finally winning out over premium prestige?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this is the true democratization of hardware we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
Premium hardware, like Apple's, is hitting a performance ceiling. The components that were considered flagship level just 3 or 4 years ago are now heavily commoditized.
Right, they're cheap to make now.
Exactly. So budget manufacturers, utilizing Walmart's immense supply chain leverage, can take those mass-produced, highly capable parts and assemble a device that handles 95% of a normal user's daily tasks for absolute pennies.
Because if your primary use case is browsing the web, watching YouTube, and answering emails, the $288 tablet accomplishes that with exactly the same fidelity as the $1,777 tablet.
Exactly. And this aggressive democratization isn't just happening with physical screens and batteries either.
Oh, no.
It's radically upending the software market, specifically in the realm of artificial intelligence.
Well, let's talk about that.
The AI subscription landscape is currently undergoing a massive correction. Currently, if you want top-tier multimodal AI capabilities, you subscribe directly to the creators.
Yep.
ChatGPT Plus costs roughly $20 a month. Claude Pro is another $20. Google AI Pro is another $20.
It adds up fast.
It does. If you maintain subscriptions to all three to ensure you have the best models for coding, writing, and research, you are spending over $700 across a 3-year period.
$720 just in software rental fees.
Exactly.
But the Taken Morning Digest highlights a rapidly growing service called Chatten AI Premium.
Right.
Instead of subscribing individually, Chatten bundles ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, and Sonar all into a single interface.
It's brilliant.
And if you use a promo code circulating right now, ChatGPT5, you receive a full 3-year access bundle for $55.24.
Which is just wild.
Not $55 a month. $55 total for 3 years of access. That is less than 1/10 the cost of going direct. I have to ask, how is this sustainable? Why aren't OpenAI and Google aggressively shutting this down?
Well, they aren't shutting it down because Chatten is operating entirely within the rules of public APIs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead of giving you a direct native subscription with all the advanced bells and whistles, Chatten acts as a massive aggregator. They purchase API access from OpenAI and Google in massive wholesale bulk.
Okay.
So when you type a question into the Chatten app, they route your prompts through their API key, get the answer from the model, and display it to you.
So they're essentially buying computing power wholesale and selling it retail to the consumer.
Exactly.
But what's the catch? Why would anyone pay $20 a month to OpenAI if this exists?
The catch is the depth of the ecosystem integration.
Ah, okay.
When you use an API aggregator, you lose the native features. You don't get the ability to build custom GPTs. You don't get deep integration into your Google workspace. And most importantly, your data is being routed through a third-party server.
Ah. Which brings us right back to the iPhone 18 Pro and that 12 gigabytes of RAM.
Exactly. It comes down to your identity as a user. If you are a power user, like a software engineer compiling code, a researcher analyzing massive proprietary data sets, or just someone who demands absolute uncompromising on-device privacy where your prompts never leave your local hardware,
then you need the native subscription.
Yes.
Yes.
You need the 12 gigabyte iPhone. You pay the premium because your use case demands it.
But what if you aren't a power user?
Yeah.
What if you're the vast majority of consumers who just want to ask an AI for a weekly meal prep recipe or ask it to draft a polite email to your landlord, and you want to do it while watching Netflix on a big screen?
For that casual user, the math changes entirely.
Yeah.
You buy the $288 Walmart tablet, you buy the $55 chat-in bundle, you get essentially the exact same casual experience as the person with the $2,000 iPad and the native subscriptions, but you save yourself thousands of dollars.
Why?
The market is giving consumers the leverage to actually buy only what they need.
That's incredible. Let's pull all of these threads together, because the narrative of May 2026 is truly a tale of two entirely different tech worlds existing simultaneously.
It really is.
On one extreme, we have consumers fighting tooth and nail in federal court over a $50 console markup, while Apple ruthlessly reorganizes their entire product line, banishing budget phones to the spring just to force feed the market $2,000 folding iPhones and $1,100 Pro models.
Yep.
But on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, we have $97 tablets running modern Android software and $55 AI bundles that are completely democratizing the future of computing for the everyday user.
And you know, this raises an important question.
What's that?
It's something for everyone listening to deeply consider regarding the future of this industry. We established that hardware lifespans are drastically extending.
Right.
People are holding onto their phones and tablets for 3 to 4 years because the internal components are more than durable enough. And as we just saw with Walmart, budget hardware is becoming remarkably, shockingly capable for everyday tasks.
Yeah, the floor is rising.
The floor has risen.
Yeah.
Which means the real battlefield of the future won't actually be the physical glass and metal device in your pocket.
Really?
No. The battlefield will be the recurring AI subscriptions that make those physical devices smart.
Wow.
But if services like Chatten are already successfully aggregating public APIs and selling that intelligence back to us for pennies on the dollar, a massive threat emerges for traditional tech giants.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Right. If hardware replacement cycles continue to slow down and AI software becomes cheap, easily accessible, and commoditized through third-party APIs, will massive tech companies eventually have to radically rethink how they make a profit 10 years from now?
That's a huge question.
Are the massive hardware profit margins we see today simply doomed?
Because if the intelligence lives entirely in the cloud and accessing that intelligence via API is dirt cheap, then the phone itself is just a dumb, interchangeable piece of glass.
Exactly.
Why would you ever pay $2,000 for it?
You wouldn't.
It completely undermines their entire luxury hardware model. Wow. Well, thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive into the 2026 tech landscape.
It's been fun.
As the market continues to stretch and fracture, keep exploring your options. Don't let the marketing hype blind you. Always critically compare what you actually need against what's being sold. And never stop demanding corporate accountability. We will catch you in the next one.